prepare our minds and our hearts for the word together. John chapter 1 to start with this morning. I don't even know what time it is. We have today and five more Sundays, and it'll be Easter Sunday morning. Just so you know. Coming around the corner, and what we're going to do is we're going to take those Sundays, this Sunday and the next five Sundays, and we're going to remind ourselves and refresh our memories and learn some things about Jesus that hopefully the goal is that when Easter Sunday comes around, we would be so excited about our Savior that we would not be able to contain ourselves. That's my prayer, and that's my goal. I guess y'all don't have a problem with me talking about Jesus on Sunday morning. Okay. Today, we're going to look at John chapter 1 in the first 14 verses. I'm just going to read through those verses, and then I want to have you to imagine some things with me, and then we'll try to get some meat on the bones. All right? So first verse of chapter 1 in John's gospel begins this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might be believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In verse 14, finally this morning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if you have a good understanding of what the scripture actually is, if you are fully aware that this Bible, this scripture, is the Word of God and it is absolute truth, you would agree. We could just close the Bible, say amen, and go home and have a great message after reading those 14 verses. However, we're not going to do that. No, we're gonna try to discuss this a little bit because we want to see and be reminded of something about our Lord, our King, our Savior, this Jesus. You know, there's moments in our lives when the barrier between the us's and the them's gets shattered. Sometimes we create these heroes in our life, whoever they might be. Maybe they're some famous people or some important people or some people that just aren't reachable in our minds, right? And whether that's something we should or shouldn't do or not is beside this point. The point is there are always going to be people who live in this same world, who don't run in the same circles as we do, and we don't run in the same circles that they do for different reasons, right? So there's us's and them's. There's us and then there's them. Doesn't mean anything other than we're just not together, generally. So I want you to imagine this scenario right now. Take some time and just, and I know you're going to say, well, that would never be true. Just imagine. Imagine means to use your brain as if something is true, even if it could never be true, for the purpose of finding out what we want to find out. So imagine you are a soldier in some part of the world, and your assignment, your privileged assignment, is to stand at attention and guard the king's castle. That's your job as a soldier. It's a prestigious job. You would feel honored to do this. There's a lot of history in the castle, king after king after king, and it's important to guard your king. You're also told that while you're there, the king is in residence, meaning he's in the castle at the moment, which makes your assignment even that much more important, because now you're not only guarding the castle, but you are guarding the king from whatever might be a threat. You can feel the weight of his presence because you know he's there. You can feel his authority as king just because you know he's there. Yet he seems distant. He seems distant because you can't just walk into the castle and say, "What's up, king?" You can't do that. You're only the guard, and you have an assignment, and that interaction is not something that you would expect to do. So he seems distant, even though he's just right behind you in the castle. You and he are separate. The king is there, but not with you. You're both at the castle, but you're not with each other. But then something amazing happens unexpectedly. You're standing at your post and you're being as good of a guard or good of a soldier as you know how to do. And it's raining and it's dark. It's cold. It's foggy. And a figure approaches out of the cold and you hear his footsteps. The man shows up in your presence and he's wearing just a regular coat. He's not wearing any uniform. He's not wearing a king's robe. He's just a man now standing in front of you. He walks right up to you, shakes the rain off his feet, and he asks you this question. Cold night, isn't it? And because you're a guard of the king, you're not going to respond with some kind of smart aleck answer like, duh, I've been out here all night. No, you won't do that. You don't even know this man. You're still on duty. You're still doing your work. And the man says, it's a cold night, isn't it? And he says, do you mind if I stand with you for a while? And throughout this interaction, you realize this man is the king himself. He didn't come at you with any orders. He didn't come at you with any instructions. He just came to be with you and to stand with you in the cold, in the rain, in the dark. So when we read John's gospel, it's a shocking, earth-shattering reality of what we celebrate about our Savior, about our King, Jesus. Because unlike the other Gospels, John doesn't start off with a baby in the manger, some nativity scene and wise men and gifts and all that comes with that, as we found in other Gospels. That's not how John starts talking about Jesus. John doesn't even go back in time to explain who Jesus is. John goes back before time to explain just who Jesus really is. John calls him the Word and gives us three truths about this king. This first truth is that he is a majestic king. In the first verse, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So John's going before time, not back in time, before time existed. You see, there's no created being called Jesus. You see, there's no one who was created that is Jesus. And Jesus was not some angel that appeared. Jesus, according to John, is the King of Kings. He's co-eternal, existing in glorious perfection with the Father and the Spirit of God. He's the source of all life and light, according to what we just read. He's the sovereign creator, the one through whom every galaxy, every ocean, and every living creature was made. That's what Paul was saying to the Colossian church about Jesus. He's high and lifted up, dwelling in unapproachable light of his holiness. That's Jesus. The second thing that John tries to tell us and show us is this king was rejected, which doesn't make sense if we're just reading this from afar. Not a fire. Verse 10 says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. So here we have our king, Jesus, who left his throne, left his heavenly castle to go and stand with his people. And he was rejected. He came to his own people, and the very ones he created and loved rejected him. Said it right there, and his own people did not receive him. They wanted a king, right? Everybody wanted a king to conquer the world, but they didn't want that king to come and plant his tent smack dab in their neighborhood of their messy lives, you see. They didn't want that kind of a king, so he was rejected. And the last thing that we're going to see as we break this down is the most amazing of and shocking thing of all. In verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The original word in the original writings actually means he tabernacled among us. How many of y'all have ever used that phrase anywhere? I tabernacled. We tabernacled together. That's what the word means. It means, and it's a reference to Old Testament when God gave instructions to Israel to build a system of worship, and there was the Holy of Holies and the place where God dwelled, and they carried it everywhere they went so they could worship him. So God went to be with them even then, and this is the same thing except for Jesus is doing it in the flesh, y'all. He didn't just simply pull up a chair at our table, you know. He didn't just simply show up in your life and say, "Hey, can I hang out with you?" As God. He actually became one of us, y'all. He left the holiness of eternity and restricted himself in the flesh. Just to stand with me and you. In the cold, dark, rainy, foggy nights of our world. He didn't just come to rule, you know. He came to relate, you know, relationships. He is Lord. He is the King. He could be the King however he chose to be the King. But because he loves his people, he wants a relationship. So he came into the flesh. He surrendered his eternal ship, his eternal being, so he could become like us and with us. And he didn't just come to judge, y'all. He came to save. Think about that statement. This king, he didn't just leave his heavenly throne and come into our world in our condition just to judge us. He came to save us. Save us from what? From the judgment. Hello? He didn't just come to stand in the rain with us and say, it's cold out here, ain't it? He already knows it's cold out here. He knows you know it's cold out here. He came to give you an option of what to do about the cold, the sickness and the hardship and the sin that we all struggle with. And here he is in the flesh, this Jesus. If we don't understand that, if people don't understand that about Jesus, I don't see how they could ever come to a place where they could really get saved. Right? Because without him doing these things that John is describing, how could he ever really be the proper sacrifice on the cross? How could he ever really be Lord? How could he ever really be the one who we all believe him to be if he didn't do this very thing? All right, here we go. We're going to go through this. The first three verses: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So Jesus is not Jesus is not a created being. He is pre-creation. He is the creator. He's the one who made it all. You ever think about it that way? We have to understand that there's God, and then there's the Father, and then there's the Holy Spirit, and they're all the same. He is, right? All three of those portions of God or ways of God existing are for the purpose that they served. And Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, he's in the flesh because that's what we needed. That's what we needed. Without that, we have no hope. The phrase, the Word became flesh, carries out the full weight of eternity stepping into humanity. I want to challenge y'all to think about what that, just try to, I don't even believe we can wrap our mind all the way around it, but just kind of let it overwhelm you. Just what it took for Jesus to leave holiness to be born as a child in the flesh. Right? And if we can let that overwhelm our minds and our hearts, it may help us have a better and bigger understanding of just how much he really does love us. You see, how great and how awesome his love really is. He didn't just begin in Bethlehem, not Jesus. That's not where he began. The baby Jesus did, but not Jesus. Jesus existed before that. He existed before time. He existed before Genesis 1:1. So when I asked you to imagine being a guard who experienced the king standing with you in a rainy night instead of sitting in his comfortable throne inside his comfortable castle, it was for the purpose of understanding what it means for the Word to become flesh. What it means for a king to step out of his throne and his kingdom and be with you where you are. See, because a king could just invite you in to his presence first. He could do that. He could summon you, right? But not our king. He didn't do that. He came to us for two reasons. He came to us because he knew that we probably wouldn't come to him just from an invitation. But he also came to us because of his holiness, we couldn't come to him without dying. We can't come into his holiness without dying, not without being covered by the blood. That's why I ask y'all, what can wash away my sin? And y'all were looking at me like, are we singing yet? I was trying to introduce a song. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, y'all. That's the only way to get in the presence of holiness. That's the only way any of us can ever hope to stand in the presence of holiness. We're invited into the king's throne. And we should go confidently before the king, according to the book of Hebrews. but only covered in the blood of Christ. Only by this king who came in the flesh to be like us so he could go to the cross and offer the perfect sacrifice so that we could be with him. So if Jesus is eternal king, naturally, it would be impossible for neutrality to be a thing. Right? No, this is as cut and dry as it gets when it comes to the gospel. You're either going to accept Jesus or you're going to reject Jesus. There is nothing in between. There's no fence to sit on. And anybody who thinks, well, I could take him or leave, that's a no. That's a rejection. You either submit to him or you resist him. And either way, it doesn't change whether or not he's king. It doesn't change whether or not he's Lord. It doesn't change who he is, who he always has been, and who he always will be. There's no beginning and no end to him. The ball is always in our court, isn't it? It's like you try to return it, and there it still is. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this man who is Jesus, who is king? All right, let's look at verse 14. I want to talk about this for a minute. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. All right, we understand, we use the word human being when we're discussing what it means to be a human being, a person, right? Flesh is something that the Bible, when we read it in the Bible, we read in Scripture about the flesh, it's kind of like our enemy, right? We're in Christ or we're in the flesh, right? We're in God's righteousness or we're in the flesh or we're in sin. So we associate flesh with sinful things. Really, flesh really means weakness, hunger, pain, sorrow, all that we experience in the world. Either because of our sin or just because sin has contaminated the world and we can't avoid it. Y'all know we live in a world that's full of bad things. And sometimes it affects us and sometimes it don't. Doesn't mean everything's bad. It just means there's a lot of bad things. You can't avoid it. Why? Because of sin. Because of the flesh. God didn't pretend to be human. He became human. He didn't just show up and pretend to be one of us. He didn't show up and just pretend that he's like us. Some people believe that. Like, well, he was probably really God, but he wasn't really human, and he's just trying to get us to believe. And No. There's way too much evidence that he was actually a human being, and he actually suffered in every way that we can suffer. And when he died on the cross, it was brutal, and it was real, and the blood was flowing. And there's also plenty of evidence that his grave, his human grave, was empty with no evidence that his dead body was still there or moved or stolen or whatever it is somebody might want to say. This is a real deal, y'all. It's no fairy tale. It's no scam. It's the real deal. The king left his throne to come and be with us. He came close enough to be touched, wounded, and rejected. You have to be flesh for that to happen. If you go to your doctor's office with some kind of sickness, some kind of disease, whatever, and he refuses to even touch you or come near you, or maybe even refuses to come in the room, is he going to be able to treat you and your illness? Not likely. Not likely. And if Jesus is going to come and heal our sin problem, he has to come to us and be with us, and he has to touch us. Right? And praise the Lord for that, because he's the only one that can heal the problem of sin. And he has. So that means no sin, no doubt, no pains, nothing in our lives can put us beyond his reach. If he can leave his holiness, if he can leave eternity and restrict himself to humanity and then go to the cross and do what he did, he can certainly solve anything that's going on in your heart and your mind. Because he is King and he is Lord. He's the Messiah. He is Christ. Isn't it great, y'all? Isn't it great to talk about Jesus? I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, we got 5 more weeks to do this. I mean, we talk about Jesus every Sunday when we come here, but we're focusing on some things here. Let's look at point number 3, and then we'll wrap it up. Verse 16 through 18, which I did not read a while ago, but I want to read it now. Let's read 15 since we read all the way to 14. Verse 15 says, John testified about him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Eternal, right? Verse 16 says, for if of his fullness we have all received a grace upon grace. We have all received his fullness, by the way, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Mark that. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father has explained him. You ever notice Jesus runs around, when he was running around teaching and healing and feeding people, he was always saying, my Father this, my Father that, the kingdom of God this, my Father's house this. It was all about the Father. It was all about God. It was all about eternity. It was all about who's in charge. How could he talk about anything else if he's one and the same? So when it says, for of his fullness we have all received, imagine that. I don't really think we have to imagine that, because if we're saved, we should be experiencing that. But imagine, what is the fullness of Jesus? What exactly is the fullness? I mean, it's an overwhelming thought. The fullness of Jesus, who existed before time, has no beginning and no end. The fullness of what Jesus came in the flesh to do. You sit here and you read that and you're like, what does grace upon grace mean? I hear that, and I hear grace eternally. Grace from eternally in the past, and grace for eternity future, and grace now. It's never ending grace. Always been grace, always will be grace, never going to change. You'll never run out. He's like, it will never run out of grace. That's where y'all sit back and say, thank the Lord for that. Whew, I can relax a little bit. So before the king walk out in the rain to stand with you while you're on guard at the castle, there was no chance to really know that king. You were not permitted to go into the castle and talk to him and say, what's up? You weren't permitted to leave your post, for something might happen. It would be your responsibility to deal with it. It was the us's and the them. The thems. But because he walked out and stood with you in your imagination to relate with you, there's an opportunity to know the king. Y'all realize that? Those of us who are saved, we've been knowing Jesus ever since we got saved. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him, having a relationship with him. That's why anytime somebody says to me, well, I'm a believer, but they don't want to go to church, or I'm a believer, but I don't really read my Bible, or I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, and I got that bus ticket, that holy bus ticket in my pocket, so it doesn't matter what I do. You don't know Jesus, if that's how you think about it. Because if you knew Jesus, not only would you worship him every day, not only would you walk with him every day, not only would you serve with him every day, not only would you tell everybody you know about Jesus because you know him, if you really know him, that's what would happen. You wouldn't be able to contain yourself if you really know him. If you really know him, you wouldn't be able to stand it if you couldn't get around other brothers and sisters who are saved by the same king, who know the same king. We wouldn't be able to stop talking about it. It's like, look what happened to me on Tuesday with Jesus. Me and Jesus did this. And we would be testifying to one another and witnessing for God and praising God for all the things that go on because we know Jesus, because he's with us all the time. Right? All because he came to us so that we could have this relationship with him. You know, there's no textbook anywhere on the planet that you can give to a baby and that baby will learn how to love by using that textbook. Right? Everybody knows that when a baby's born, it's all about self. Right? They want fed, they want hugged, they want their diapers changed, they want whatever they want. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right here. Because all they know is I need this and I want this. Not even sinful, it's just what it is. So, and they can't read, in case you didn't know that. You can't give them a book to teach them how to love. Somebody's got to teach that baby how to love somebody else besides themselves. And that's what parents, you guys know this, but that's what parents do. You love the baby so the baby grows up learning how to love. It's a relationship that you have, parents have with their children. So when Jesus comes to be with us, it's for the purpose of loving us so that we know how to love others the way he wants us to love others. All right, if we all agree with that, let's say, okay, well, how did Jesus love us? Starts with a C and ends with Ross. I mean, that's where I start. Because I'm like, okay, if that's the way Jesus wants me to love people, then okay, how do I try to do something like that? Knowing that I'm not to go to a cross literally, but how do I love people in that way? And the only answer I can really come up with that I can explain is he gave it all. He gave him all of himself. Okay, well then, my life journey is to figure out how can I give all of myself to others if I'm going to be like Jesus. As long as I'm in the flesh and I'm going to be like Jesus and love like Jesus, then I got to do it the way he's showing me how to do it. And praise God, he didn't just come to the cross and then leave and now we don't have him around anymore. No, we have the Spirit of God. He said, I got to go because I'm going to give you another counselor and he'll lead you and guide you. See, he's still with us, y'all. This king. He's still standing here in the rain with us. He's still standing here in the world with us. He's still standing here in our troubles, in our sorrows, in our anxieties, in our fears. He's still standing here when the whole world is fighting itself. Our king still stands with us. Isn't that great, y'all? Don't that get you excited? Every day, it's like, you know what? There's days when we all have bad days, and you're just sitting here just having the biggest pity party. Nobody knows it. It's all happening in here most of the time. And you're all just like, man, this is the worst day possible. You know, you're ready to go back to go to bed. Just leave it alone. And if we're paying attention to the Spirit of God, our Lord, who lives in us because we're believers, who's standing with us in this world, if we're paying attention, he's going to say, I see it. It's all good because I'm right here. You ain't going through this alone. Isn't that great? Wouldn't that give you the courage to just keep standing as long? I mean, if the king's willing to stand there, how long are you willing to stand there? If the king's willing to go through it, how long are you willing to go through it? We got to stop settling for religion or pretend church stuff in the world. We got to be getting tuned into this relationship that Jesus came here to offer us, which I realize all you guys know this. But there's people in the world that don't know this. And it's our job to help them know this. And they're not going to know it by you saying it. They're going to know it by you living it in front of them. They're going to know it because they're going to see this relationship. They're going to see the king standing with you. They're going to see the king standing with you in the good times or the bad times. It's always great to stand with the king on the mountaintop, isn't it? Praise the Lord. This is my Jesus right here. But let me tell you something. Them guys in Acts, in the book of Acts, and they were in the darkest prison, getting ready to be killed most likely, they were singing hymns because they knew that their Jesus was sitting right there with them. They knew it. All right, here we go. We're going to shut this down. You ready? So where does this leave us right now? We've just reviewed the greatest journey that has ever been undertaken in all of history, in all of time and beyond time and after time and before time and all of that. The greatest journey ever taken. We've seen our eternal King step out of the throne room to enter time itself, to enter into the flesh. He did not just visit humanity. He was humanity. He became humanity. We witnessed him by doing so tear apart the curtain that separates the King, our Father, from humanity. You remember when Jesus died on the cross, this big curtain got torn in half and it exposed the Holy of Holies and the dwelling place of God. Jesus in the flesh did that. And that is a picture of the access that we have to our Father through Christ. Ultimately showing us that God's face is not a face of wrath. God's face is the face of love. Right? And it had to be this way. It's the only way for it to be this way is for him to come into the world, to come near to us and come stand with us. So we got some questions. And we got two things here. If you're saved, if you're a believer, then the question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? You're sitting back like, what do you mean, what am I going to do with Jesus? He's already my Lord and Savior. What are you talking about? Okay. Be careful. Be careful that you don't somehow drift away to the point where you got your free ticket to heaven and you're not engaged in this relationship that Jesus came here to offer you. You may have been on fire when you got saved, but life happens, doesn't it? And there's many opportunities to become complacent in this relationship. And maybe there's times in our life where things are going on and it just seems like you're talking to God, but he doesn't hear, or he's way over there somewhere. And that's a real thing in our lives. And we have to ask God to help us activate our faith and believe the reality of our King, our Savior, the reality of Jesus standing here in this world with us, even if it doesn't feel that way. That's what faith does. Like, Lord, you know how I feel. You know what's going on. You know that it's hard. It's dark. I can't see anything, but I know you're here because I read the Bible, and I trust that your Bible tells me is true, and you're here. I know it. Sometimes you just got to tell yourself you're wrong. How you feel is wrong. What is true is this. That's faith. All right? So if you're not saved, here's your question. What are you going to do with Jesus? It's the same question, isn't it? It's the same. It's always the same question. What are you going to do with this Jesus? You know, and this is what I would encourage you to ask your friends. Ask the people who you know who aren't saved. Talk to them in this way. Talk to them about this Jesus, this one who came into the world for these reasons. Make them understand that this is not a fairy tale. This is a real God who became a real man for you, to stand with you, to stand with us. Help them understand that and challenge them. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to make them believe it. Just say, hey, this is what the Bible says about Jesus and his humanity and why. And just say, if that were true, what would you do with it? And let the Lord deal with that. Make them walk away with the Lord working on them. All you got to do is with people is say, if this is true, then what would you do? I don't have to hear you say it's true. I don't have to hear anybody say that the Bible's true. I know it's true. I don't have to hear anybody say what God says is true. I know it's true. I don't need you to verify that for me. I'm asking, do you want to consider that it's true? I'm asking, if you really want to know what's true, consider this, consider that. And what we're learning about Jesus is he is the King who has come near. He's the King who came to be with us. Isn't that great? I mean, he done it in a way no one else will do it. And he's still here. And sometimes people get mixed up. Okay, well, he died and he rose from the dead, and then the Bible says he went on to be with the Father in heaven with the Father. And they associate in their mind that he's now gone again. And he's not with us. But it's not true, because you have to read before that where it says, I have to leave because I'm giving you another counselor, one who will be with you wherever you go. That's the greatest thing about our mission. Go into the world and make disciples, and I'll go with you wherever you go. And here's what's the amazing thing that I've learned, and I'm going to stop. I get excited when God says, if you just go into the world and do the work, I'll be with you. I'm like, oh, well, that makes it easy. Let's go then. Anybody will go with Jesus, right? Anybody will go where Jesus goes if you believe in Jesus. But here's what I learned. Sometimes when I make a bad choice, right, and I find myself off the path, and I start to fall short, it's not that God doesn't go there with me. It's not that Jesus is way off somewhere. Jesus goes in the darkness with me. Spirit of God is constantly, I think I got a bruise right about in here. Spiritual bruise right there. Because the Spirit of God is constantly pounding me on the shoulders like, hold up, that's not who we are. That's not what we do. He's constantly pounding me on the shoulder. Even if it's not a big sinful thing, it's just, maybe it's not the best thing. Maybe it's not the best witness. You say, hold up, think about that. And then scripture will just come flying through my mind. Many times I'm just like, it's like afterward. I'm like, oh, he tried to tell me that. But praise the Lord, our King, our Savior, he came to be near us, to be with us. That's Jesus, y'all. That's just sermon. That's just message number one. Message number one. All right, let's stand together. We're going to sing. Jesus paid it all. Jesus in the flesh paid it all. If you're not saved, you should give yourself to the Lord today.